Today's shir is Masechta Brachos, Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the fifth line. Hoyel Fanam Minim Harbe. The Mishnah discussed if one has a number of foods in front of them and he needs to make a bracha, which on the foods, which one should he make the bracha on first? Rabbi Yehuda said he should make the bracha on the fruit. That's one of the Shevis Haminim. But the Chum say he makes on the Chavif. Amar Ula begins the Gemara. Says Ula Machloikis, the Machloikis of Yehud and the Chumim, is in a situation, Shibur Chasei and Shavis. We have a number of foods with the same bracha. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Min Shiva Odev. Anything that's one of the Zayim Minim that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with is what you should make the first bracha on. Rabbanan Tzavri and Rabbanan are of the opinion min chaviv adif. What you prefer is better. Aval in a situation she'ein b'chaseim shavus, when you have two foods, one is a hadama and one is ha'etz, divrei hakol mevarech al zeh v'chaz mevarech al zeh. You have to make two separate brachas. So, as the Rashba explains, the machloikis, when they're the same min, is what is considered more significant. The opinion of Yehuda is that what is of the Zayim Minim is considered more chashiv. And Yehuda and the Rabbana hold that what is more chaviv is more chashiv. The question, however, is, the Gemara says, everybody agrees that if you're making if you have two foods with two separate brachas, mevarach hazeh, mevarach hazeh, you have to make two separate brachas. But what the Gemara doesn't say is which is the bracha that you have to make first and which is the bracha that you have to make second. So there's a very big machlokes rishonim around this. Tosfos' opinion is that in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim that you go with the Chaviv. The Ravya holds that there is no din kadima at all here. You could do whatever you want. The Mordechai says that in this case, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you should first make the min sheva. And the Bahag says that Ula is not addressing at all the question that if you have two different minim in front of you, which do you make first? All he's trying to establish is what that you have to make separate brachas, one for the other. And as the Mefarshim, as the Rosh explains, that we would think, since as we learned and will learn, that b'di'evid, if you made on a food which is a ha'etz, a hadoma, the loch is your yotze, so we would think that you could make maybe just a hadoma and not have to make a ha'etz, comes the Gemara to teach us that that is not the case. So now we have a very big question. What do we do? In other words, when the foods are all the same bracha, the Gemara has been very clear that we make the min shiva first. If there is no min shiva there, everybody agrees that we go after the chaviv. But what do we do when they're not the same? So it seems that here most opinions are that we go with the chaviv. However, there is a new question to be discussed. Because there's a very fundamental machloikis. What is the definition of chaviv? Is it that is the opinion of the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina, the Rosh, is that chaviv means what's usually chaviv to you. The Rambam however, holds whatever you want now is considered chaviv. The fact that it's usually chaviv to you doesn't make a difference. So even though normally we follow the opinion of the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah that the definition of chaviv is what's usually chaviv to you, in this situation where we have a question, when you have two different brachas, and we don't know which comes first, and again, we're going to speak about this later in the shir. We're only speaking here about ha'etz and ha'domo. When we're speaking about other brachas, ha'moitzi, bari pri agofin, mezoinus, there are very specific orders which bracha comes first. The entire discussion that we're having now is limited to the case where the two foods in front of you are ha'etz and ha'domo, and we need to know which one, and you, obviously, as the Gemara just said, everybody agrees you need to make two separate brachas. Which should you make first? Do we go with the min shiva, or do we go with the chaviv? So, as I said, the opinion of most Rishonim and the opinion of the Paiskim is that we go with the chaviv. However, even though normally we explain that chaviv means what's usually chaviv to you, here, if the min shiva is chaviv to you today, so even though that is not normally the way we follow in most situations, in this situation, because we have a shaila anyway, for this we'll agree that if by saying what you want today will also create that the chaviv and the min sheva are the same and we'll be able to avoid the shaila, then we can follow the opinion of the Rambam for today and say that chaviv is what you want today. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Hoyle fun of Tsunday Vizayas, if you have in front of you a radish and an olive, a bari pri adom and a bari pri eitz, and it says the Gemara, Mvarachal Tsunoyin, you make a bracha on the radish, the bari pri adom, or Paiter Sazayas. So it seems very much different than what the Bahag just told us, that you have to make a separate ha'etz and separate ha'adoma. Here it says clearly, you just make the ha'adoma and you won't have to make the eitz. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, what's referring to here, Kishetznoin Iker, where the radish is the primary food and the olive is just being there to take away from the sharpness of the radish. And as we've discussed, there's a concept of Iker v'tofel, and whenever we go with an Iker v'tofel, whenever there's an Iker v'tofel, we only make a bracha on the Iker, on the primary food, and we don't make a bracha on the subordinate food. Says the Gemara, Yehachi Seifa, if that's the case of that Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, continues the Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevorach al Azayis, make a bracha on the Zayis, Azayis v'min Shiva. Ask the Gemara, Lesley Rabbi Yehuda Ode Tanan, does that mean Rabbi Yehuda says you have to make two separate brachas? But doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree to what we're going to learn in the Mishnah? The kol shu ikav imay tefela, when you have a primary food and a secondary food, everybody agrees mevarach al ikav poitas at tefela. V'chi teima. So why would you have to make a bracha if we're just saying that the zayis is only there in a secondary role? Why would he say that you make a bracha on it? V'chi teima. And if you'll want to indeed say, Hachanami de Lesley, the Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the concept of Ikka and Tafel, Vatanya, but there's a Braisa that says clearly not like that. Because the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Emachmat Snoim Ba Hazayas, if the only reason you're eating the olive is because you need to bring it along with the radish, Mevarach al Snoim, or Potas Hazayas. So Rabbi Yehuda obviously does agree to the concept of Ikker v'tofel. So how could you say that that's the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanim? Says the Gemara, lo'olam b'tznoin Ikker skinin. Indeed, the Braisa is talking about a case where the primary food is the radish, the bari pri adama. V'chi plig Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanim, what is the machloikis in that Braisa, in that Mishnah? B'mils Achrita Pligi. It's a Braisa. They're arguing about a different subject altogether. And it's missing. And as The Mefarshim explain. What is Pshat in Chsuri Mechsra? Many times in Shas, we're going to have Chsuri Mechsra. How do we understand Chsuri Mechsra? So, most Mefarshim, the Shlop, say that there's a difference when the Gemara says Hachi Kamar. When the Gemara has a question and it uses the words Hachi Kamar, there what it usually means is that we're not changing anything in the Mishnah. All we're doing is taking the words of the, just explaining it that we order in a way that we are able to understand it. But when it says Chsuri Mechsra, there could be two explanations. It could be that indeed words were missing, and now those words are being inserted. Or Chsuri Mechsra means that the words aren't missing. Just Rebbe always wrote the Mishnah in a very abbreviated fashion for them to remember it and learn it. And therefore, there are words that maybe should have been there in order to help us understand what the Mishnah says, but they're not said for a different reason, because Rebbe wanted to keep it short and he expected us to understand. What about when Chsuri Mechsra means that there are words indeed missing? So the Shlo explains, as we know, in the time of Chazal, they learned everything Torah Shebaal-Peh. They learned Mishnayos by memory. They weren't allowed to learn Torah. Torah Shebaal-Peh was not allowed to be written. So now, if we're learning Torah Shebaal-Peh, and they had a certain girsa, so they had a certain version of the Mishnah, and then they wanted to change the version, it would be very difficult to do so, because once they became accustomed that this is the version of the Mishnah, then we shouldn't change that, because it becomes confusing to try to memorize it again. So even though the words were missing, and even though the words really ought to be inserted, they were not because of that. So Chsuri Mechsra, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Hayal Fonov, Tznoim V'Zayis, if you have radish and an aleph, Mevarach al Tznoim, Upoitis Azayis. You make the bracha on the radish, and you need not make a bracha on the aleph. But medvar mamurim kishnoin ikr. That's only if your main point is to eat the radish. Aval ein tznoin ikr. If it's not a situation of ikr v'tafel, divrei hakol mevarach al zeh, v'chayz mevarach al zeh. You need to make two separate brachas. Ushnein minim ba'alma shebrachasein shavus. And whenever you have a situation where you have two foods that have identical brachas, mevarach lezem and sheyirtza. You make the bracha on whichever one you want. As we've learned, the opinion of the Chacham is, you make the bracha on the chaviv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mevarach lazayis. No, if you have two foods that have the same bracha, if one of them is the min shiva, Rabbi Yehuda, as we started the shir, says you always make the bracha on the min shiva. Says the Gemara, Pligi by Rav Ami v'Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Chanam ha-machloikas b'chaseim sover. The machloikas of Yehuda and Rabbanon is when they have identical brachas. The Yehuda sover min shiva odif. The min shiva always comes first. The Rabbanon sover min chaviv odif. And Rabbanon's opinion is that you always go with the food that you prefer. Avo b'sh'ein b'chaseim shavis. When they don't have the same bracha, ho'etz and ha'adoma, you make two separate brachas. Even when they don't have the same bracha, we also have a machloikus. So the Gemara will right away ask, when they have the same bracha, shaper. We understand the machloikus. Do we go with the chaviv? Do we go with the min shiva? When the brachas are not the same pligi, what's the machloikus? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Lahagdim. A new conversation. We know that the Torah speaks about the Zion Minim, and the Torah says an order to them. Dam Rabbi Yosef Yitem Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaMugdim B'Pasuk, whichever of the Zion Minim is mentioned first in the Pasuk, Mugdim LeBrocha, is the first when it comes to the Brocha as well. Shenema, because when the Torah speaks about the Zion Minim, The Torah says Eretz Chita v'Soyer Gefer Retainoin Rimon Eretz Zay Shemen Advash. So the Torah says that what we're learning is that's the order that you make the bracha. In other words, when we have Zayin Minim in front of us, a number of Zayin Minim, the question is which should we make first and which should we make second? The answer is in the order that the Torah says it. Pliyad Rav Nachanan, this is disagreement with what Rav Chanan said, because Rav Chanan said, Kol HaPasuk Kulo L'Shiur Nemro, that the Pasuk is not referring to teach us the order of brachas, which of the Zayin Minim should I make first, and which of the Zayin Minim should I make second. Rather, what the purpose of the Pasuk is to teach us halachas and shurim. Chita, and now the Gemara goes into each one of the Minim that I mentioned in the Pasuk, what do I learn from it? Chita de Tanan. The halach is, ha-nichnas l'bayis ha-menuga, if one enters a house, which is a tzuras, afflicted house. So it's interesting. If we look in the Pasuk in the Torah says two different psukim regarding somebody entering a house when he's tamei. One Pasuk says that he and all of his clothing are tamei. The Pasuk of Abal by one Pasuk says Abal by Yitman Erev. And another pasuk says, "Vashoychef," it only speaks about the individual who went into the house. And the other pasuk says, "Vashoychef bebayis yichabes begodov, vaoch bebayis yichabes begodov." Sometimes even the begodim are tamei. So how do we reconcile it? So it says, if somebody walks into that house, v'keila ksevav, his garments are on his shoulders, v'sandal v'tabayis beyodov, he's carrying his clothing, he's carrying his jewelry. He becomes Tamei, and whatever I carry is considered part of me, so they become Tamei right away. However, he's wearing his clothing, the sandal baraglov, and the shoes are on his feet, the tabosabat spice and his rings are on his fingers. Who Tamei biyad? So the person, as we just learned, becomes Tamei immediately. The hain tayrim, but their tayr, achi yishabedais b'tei chilas pras. Until he's in the house, the amount of time Achilles Pras. Now, when we speak about Achilles Pras, what type of food is that? So, says the Gemara, it's Pas Chitin V'loi Pas Soirim, wheat bread rather than barley bread. Wheat bread is more edible, so you eat it quicker. Mesiv, when you're eating it in a reclining position, so most Rishonim are of the opinion that when you eat in a reclining position, you concentrate on the eating, and therefore, you concentrate on the eating, you eat quicker. The Ritva, however, disagrees, and the Ritva's opinion is that you eat slower when you're in a reclining position. Vayichlam b'liftan, eating with a relish. When you eat with relish, then it's also more delicious, and you eat it quicker. So here we just learned the concept of Kedei Achilas Pras. The question is, what is indeed the Kedei Achilas Pras? So there are many different shitas, anywhere from 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. My Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, said that the shear is 5 minutes. But that's what the Torah said chita for. The Torah taught us chita not to do with the kedima, which bracha comes first or which bracha comes second. Rather, it's there to teach us that that's how we measure the shear of kedei achilas pras, how fast will the clothing become tamei or not tamei in the house of a mitzayra. Saira, the Torah speaks about barley. Why do we speak about barley? The Tanan, Etzim Kesoira, the Torah speaks about a bone, which is small like a kernel of barley, is Matamba B'magla Masa. A person becomes Tamei by carrying or touching a bone, even if it's as small as a Soira. V'ene Matamba B'oil, but as far as Tumah oil, there you have to have more than just the Etzem Kesaira. Geffen, when the Torah speaks about Geffen, Kedei Revius Yayin LeNazir. A Nazir may not have anything of grape or grape product. And what we're learning here is how much a Revius. It's not only a Revius of wine, which we could easily measure, but even a Revius of any of the grape products. And what does that mean to say? The way we measure a salad with a liquid measure is by putting that salad food into a cup, into a bowl with liquid, and we have displacement. But water is not as thick of a liquid as wine. So to displace a Revius wine, you need to put in more product than you need to put in when you want to displace a Revius of water. So says here, the Gemara, that when we're measuring the different wine, grape products, by another, we displace wine, not water. Tena, the Torah speaks about figs, because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Masechta Shabbos, whenever we speak about the Isser of carrying on Shabbos, how much is Osir? Kegroigris Leitzah Shabbos, the shear of a groigris, which is a dried fig. The Torah speaks about Rimoin, Kirtanan, for a different halacha, called Kli Balivatim, Shur and Kirimoinim. The halacha is that if you have a keli that's tamei, if it becomes broken, it loses its status of tamei. And this, of course, is much very important when we're speaking about kli cheres, because other kelim you could take to the mikveh and to be matahar to make it tahar, but a kli cheres you can't take to the mikveh to make tahar. So the way you can make it tahar, there's only one way: breaking it. But breaking it means that it has to be so broken that it's not usable. So if a keli develops a hole that, let's say, beans will fall out, you could use it to hold olives. If it gets a hole that big, you could use it to hold walnuts. But once it's so big that it can't even hold pomegranates, then it's considered completely broken and is no longer tamei. Furthermore, this halacha only applies to kli balabatim, to the kelim of somebody that have in their home. But the kli of a manufacturer, a storekeeper, a manufacturer, cannot sell a keli with a hole in it, and there the shiurim would be different. Eretz zei shemen, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Eretz kol shiurei kezeisim. All these different shiurim that we just mentioned are sort of the exception to the rule. But we know that the typical shiur is always a kezeis. Ask the Gemara, usually the shear is a kazayis. Devash, when we speak about honey, it's referring to kesevas agasa miyom kippurim. Normally, when the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to eat something, the Torah says loy seichel. You shouldn't eat. But it's very interesting. When it speaks about Yom Kippur, the Torah says, "Ki kala ef nefesh ashle su'una be'etzim hayoyim azeh v'nichr sabah meha." The Torah, when it speaks about the Isser of eating Yom Kippur, speaks about inui, somebody being in pain. So the shear becomes a very different shear. The shear is dependent on inui, or yisuvei data, as the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma. So there, the Torah teaches us that the shear of eating on Yom Kippur, that one should be also to eat on Yom Kippur, is a whole different shear than it normally is. What is the shear? Kikasevus agasim Yom Kippurim. The shear of a large date, which is obviously larger than a kazayis. And this is the reason, says the Chasam Sofer, and the Maram Shik, and the Marsham, why on Yom Kippur, even though you have to fast, but if somebody can't, again, we're not speaking about a healthy person, but if somebody, nebuch, is not well, the halacha is that they could eat through intravenous. Because again, when you're eating through intravenous, you're not eating in a normal fashion, that isn't a violation of inui. So, ask the Gemara. So we learned that all of these shiurim, the pasuk is for shiurim, not for teaching us which bracha comes first. And as I saw from the Strick of a Rebbe, he teaches us what is the lesson that the Torah is teaching us. We look at this pasuk and we look at food, different types of fruits, the shivas aminim. But what is the Torah teaching us? Don't look at them as gashmias. Don't look at them just as food. The way to look at them is that when the Torah speaks about food, it's not gashmias, it's really ruchnias. So, but the other man, Dama, who said that the pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of kedima, which of the shivas aminim comes first and which comes second, hanishurim behedyim iksiva, the pasuk isn't really say any of these halachas explicitly. Elamid rabbanon. This entire concept is just midrabbanon. The kra and the pasuk is only in a smachta ba'alma. That's the girsa in our Gemara. There's a similar Gemara in Masechta Ervin, Daftal Rambeis, a Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Davav Amon Aleph, and there the Gemara says that it's a halachal Moshe Mesinai. And in fact, Rav Kivege here on the side of the Gemara in the Gilyan HaShas asked that question. Is it a Drabonon or is it a halachal Moshe Mesinai? Because halachal Moshe Mesinai has the status of a Daraisa. And a Drabonon is only Drabonon. So the Pnei Yeshua, in order to reconcile these Gemaras, says that some of these Shiurim are Drabonon, and some of them are Halachal Moshe Mesinai. He says the din of Moitzi Rimoin is a din Drabonon. The other ones that are Halachal Moshe Mesinai, he wants to differentiate something that we could understand, that makes sense, that we could come to that conclusion, like as we explained when we spoke about the rimoin. So we understand that when the keli is so broken that it can't hold anything, it's considered broken. So that's something that the rabbanon said. But when we spoke about the other things, about walking into the house, that just doesn't have any svara behind it. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's a halacha l'moshe Mesinai. The Beis Sharim wants to say that it's really a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Oshia, and that's why these two Gemaras represent a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan holds it's a halacha l'moshe Mesinai. Rabbi Oshia holds it's a derabbanan. Rav Chisda v'Rav Hanuna, says the Gemara, have yasi v'sudasa. Rav Chisda and Rav Hanuna was sitting in a meal, asla kamay tamay remaini, and they were brought to eat tamarim and remainim. Shak Rav Huna, baruch atamar bereisha. He made a bracha on the dates first. Amalei Rav Chisda, l'shir le'mar l'hodam Rav Yitzchak v'tem Rav Yitzchak, kol mugdam apasuk ze kodim lebracha. Whatever comes first in the pasuk is first in the bracha, and if that's the case, you should have said on the pomegranate first, which is the fifth in the pasuk, rather on the date, which is the seventh. Amalei, to which he responded, ze sheni laretz v'ze chamishi laretz. So now the Gemara adds a new point in understanding this halacha, that when we speak about the shivas aminim, we go in the order of the pasuk. We don't just go in the order of the pasuk. We also look at what is closer to the word aretz. And therefore, the date is the second after the second aretz in the land. The rimon is fifth after the first aretz in the pasuk. And therefore, dates come before rimonim. Amalei, man yavlei, nagri de parzel. I wish I had feet made out of steel, v'nashminecha. As we learn in Pirkei Avos, have a misabik b'afar regleim. We have to always follow Talmid Chachamim. And he says, you're a Talmud Chacham we learned in this Masechta already, Gadol Shimushay Yoisa Milamuda. Being next to a Talmud Chacham is even more than learning by him. So I wish I could be with you all the time and learn all these special halachas. So now we have that we always follow the order of the pasuk of the Zayin Minim, but we also take the word Oritz into consideration in making that decision. So what is the proper order? So according to Tosfos, first comes wheat, which is the first after the first Oritz. Then comes Zeisim, which is the first after the second Oritz. Because of course, if we're going to have to decide which Oritz is more important, the first Oritz mentioned in the Pasuk goes first. Then comes barley, which is the second after the first Oritz. Then come Tamarim, which is the second after the second Oritz. Then come grapes, figs, and pomegranates. That's the order that Tosfos establishes. The Brisker Rav was asked a question. He says, the Torah has to mention all of the Shivas Aminim. And if the Torah has to mention all of the Shivas Aminim, there obviously has to be an order. They have to all be mentioned. We can't say one before the other. So why is the fact that the Torah mentioned them in this order a raya for the halacha? So the Brisker Rav answered. Many times, the Rashi in Chumash teaches us that Aaron and Moshe shkulin hein, that Aaron and Moshe were equal. How does Rashi come to that conclusion? Because sometimes the Torah puts Aaron before Moshe, and sometimes the Torah puts Moshe before Aaron, to teach us shkulin hein, that they're the same. But why do we see that the Torah doesn't use the same order every time? Similarly, by the B'nai Salafchad, the Torah doesn't mention the order of all of those women the same every time. However, says the Brisker Rav, every time the Torah mentions the Zayin Minim, they're mentioned in the same order. The fact that every time the Zayin Minim are mentioned, they mention it in the exact same order is an indication that that's the order that should always be followed for this lesson. So before we go further, we've learned the Gemara about the different orders of brachas. So what is the proper halacha? So, as I said earlier, the first thing we have to look at is what is the bracha. The hamotzi goes always first, then a bari mina mezonos. Of course, if you're making hamotzi, most foods will not get their own bracha. We will speak now in the Gemara that even if you made hamotzi, sometimes you have to make a separate bracha. But usually hamotzi is always going to patter all other brachas. Then comes bari mina mezonos. Then comes bari pri agofen, zeisim tamarim, anovim teina rimon, and when bari pri eitz, bari pri adama come before shahakol. But and as we discussed early on this year, when we speak about bari pri eitz and bari pri adama, there we typically go with the chaviv. That means if we'll have a bari pri eitz and a bari pri adama, if there we follow the chaviv. If they're both equally chaviv to you, then we follow the min shiva. If they're both not of the min shiva, an apple and an orange, then you go with the chaviv first. If they're both equal in taste to you, then you say the bari pri eitz before you say the bari pri ha'adama. When you have two foods that are both bari pri adama or shahako, you should make the bracha on the chaviv. And as we said earlier, typically we define chaviv as what you always like, not just what you like at this particular moment. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Hevila Fanayam, Tainim Vanovim Teichasuda. If Tainim Vanovim were brought to you during the meal, Amar Avuna, Tuna Bracha Lefnayam, you need to make a bracha Rishona, since the nat part of the suda not eaten with the bread. So you have to make a separate bracha rishoina. Vein tuna bracha lachreim, but you need not make a bracha achroina. V'kein amar Rav Nachman, in such a situation, tuna bracha lefneim, vein tuna bracha lachreim. Rav Sheshes says, ein tuna bracha bein lefneim, bein lachreim. What is the machlokes? Everybody agrees they need a bracha rishoina because they're not subordinate to the bread. And because they're not subordinate to the bread, you have to make a separate bracha rishayna. But Rav Huna and Rav Nachman hold that berachas hamazon, that's said at the end of the meal covers everything that's part of the meal. Whereas Rav Sheisha says, if it needs a bracha rishayna separately, it will also need a separate bracha achrayna. Shein lecha dava shetona bracha lefanov, vein tona bracha leachrov. Ela pasabah b'kistam bavad, which we'll speak about a little later. Upligi Rav Chiya, and this halacha, that you have to make a separate bracha on fruit eaten during the meal, is not what Rav Chiya taught us. Dar Rav Chiya, pas b'teres kol mina machal, bread takes care of all food. If you make a moitzi at the beginning of the meal, you need to make a bracha on anything you're going to eat on the meal. Ve'ayin, and if you make a bracha on wine, poita kol mina mashkim. So here we learn a new halacha, that yayin, wine, poita kol mina mashkim, if you make a bari pri agafen, you need not make a bracha on any other beverage that you're going to drink. However, when we speak about that halacha, that yayin poita kol mina mashkim, it's only on, there are a number of conditions. Number one, that there are many poskim that say that it only works on beverages that were on the table when you made the bracha. But if the beverages weren't on the table, it wouldn't help. Secondly, even though, as we know, by Kiddush, for example, one person makes Kiddush and everybody else is yoitza with the Kiddush. The halacha is that for wine, for drinking wine, not needing to make another bracha, it's only if the wine, you drank the wine. But if you didn't drink wine, then you can't make a bracha on the other foods. Then you still have to make bracha on the other beverages. Also, there's a very big question. What is the halacha on grape juice? And really, the Prima Gadim gives two reasons why wine patters, when wine makes that you shouldn't have to make a bracha on all other beverages. One is because of the bracha, a bari pri agafen, since it's such a unique, special bracha, it has the power that you shouldn't have to make a bracha on all the other beverages, or because of the wine. Because we know, we discussed it, that so many, in yesterday's shir, that so many mitzvahs are done with wine. So the question is it a din in the bracha, or is it a din in the wine? Rav Ozner, in the Shalos HaTshuva Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Dalet Simen Chaf Dalet, says that it's a din in wine. And wine has the chshivas, but not grape juice. Not only, says the Mishnah Berurah, that beverages were on the table, that weren't on the table, wine doesn't discharge their obligation, but not only does it not discharge the obligation regarding a bracha rishayna, but they're going to also have to make a separate bracha achrayna. The Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. He says, indeed, beverages that weren't on the table, the Birchas Hayayin cannot discharge the Birchas Hayayin cannot discharge the Chiyah Bracha Rishayna, but he does discharge the Chiyah Bracha Achrayna. Certainly, says the Kaf HaChaim, that if you drank a different beverage before you drank the wine, that the bracha of Al HaGefen as the bracha achrayna, that you, and then you drink wine and you make a bari pri agafen, so the bracha achrayna that you can make on the wine can't discharge that beverage because you drank it before the wine and you made a bracha before you made the wine. The Magen Avraham and Prima Gadim disagree. Not only do they seem to be following the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav that says that even if you made a separate bracha on a beverage because it wasn't on the table when you made the bari pri agafen, that you have to make a bracha rishoina, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav says you don't have to make a bracha achrayna, but they say, let's say you drank a regular juice before you drank the wine, and you made a bracha on it, and then you drank wine and you made the bari pri agafen, and now you're going to make a al agafen on that wine, even though the beverage that you, the other beverage you drank, you made a separate bracha and you drank before the wine, still the alah gofen they hold will discharge the chiv of making a bracha chroina on the other beverages. Amra papa, hilchasa. Dvarim haboy machmas suda b'taycha suda. Food that come as a result of the meal, during the meal, anything that comes to cause of the meal, ain't on a bracha loy lefneim v'loy lechreim. You make no bracha rishayna, nor a bracha chroina. V'shloy machmas suda b'taycha suda. Foods that don't come because of the meal, tuna bracha lefneim, v'ain tuna bracha lechreim. We make a bracha rishayna, but we don't make a bracha chroina. Lachas suda, but food that come to the meal, after the meal, there, tuna bracha bein lefneim, bein lechreim. So now the question is about different fruits that are served. So if you always have at the beginning of your meal an appetizer, a fruit, a cantaloupe, grapefruit, there you don't have to make a separate bracha. And that's what the Mishnah Brura paskins in Siman Kuf Ayin Dalet Suf Katan Lamates. However, if you eat it at the end of the meal, so now you have a very big question. Do you make a bracha or not? So some have the minig of eating it with bread. That really doesn't seem to be a great advice. And the reason it's not a great advice is because you would have to eat it completely with bread, it seems from the Mishnah Berurah, to make that you shouldn't have to make a bracha on it. And therefore, it really depends, is this something that you always eat? If you always have a fruit for dessert, so that's part of your meal. And if it's part of your meal, you need not make a separate bracha. But if it's not something that you always have, then you have to make a separate bracha. The other question is, when you come to a wedding, so if the tables are still there, even if the dessert, which by a wedding is always served, it seems you wouldn't have to make a bracha. But in many weddings, the dessert is served as a buffet, as a Viennese table. So now the question is, do you have to make a separate bracha on those, on the Viennese table? Because you have siluk shulchanos. So it seems that it depends on if there is if the tables are still out and there's food on the table, then it seems that it's part of the wedding meal. But if the tables are removed, then it seems that everybody would agree you have to make a separate bracha. Shalos bezayda, v'mnei ma'amru dvar abayim machmas suda b'techa suda. Why is the halacha that anything that comes because of the meal, during the meal, and a ton of bracha loy lefneim loy lechreim? Amalehem, hoil pas patrasin, because the bread, the hamaitzi, covers all of these foods. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, yochi yai nami niftari pas. Why isn't that the halacha that the wine should make, we should have to make a bracha on the wine? And so he answered, shani yayin, the goyim bracha la'atzmai. Wine is considered so significant that it always, as we said earlier in this year, wine is so significant that you make a bari pri agafin. So since wine has that chshivis, that's why you make a bracha on the wine during the meal. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the pshat in the Gemara is that since we saw in our Gemara that yayin discharges the bracha on all other beverages, so that's what makes wine special. The Rashbam and the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina say that since we see that we don't make on wine a bari pri eitz, rather we make a bari pri agafen, so it shows the importance of wine. The Zeruah says there's a halacha that if somebody is drinking wine in a meal, and we'll learn this halacha mitzvashem, and then a better wine is brought out, so you have to make a new bracha on that better wine. You have to make a toiv v'ameitiv. So since we see that wine has this special rule that you make a toiva meitiv on it, even though you made already a hamoitzi, even though you already made a bari pri agofen, that shows us how special wine is, and therefore the hamoitzi, which is made at the beginning of the meal, doesn't cover the wine.